Father, we come this morning. We come, Heavenly Father, aware of your covering and your protection. We pray that today you will speak to us anew concerning it, that we will not only be able to tell people that this covering exists, but that we would be able, Lord, to know that it's there and to experience it in a daily way as you desire. We pray today that you will take your word and make it real to us, to each of us individually, according to our need today. Only you can open our eyes and our hearts to your word. Only you can give us the true understanding of it. Only you can cause it to sink so deeply down into our souls that it literally begins to permeate our being, our thoughts, and our way of conducting ourselves, our outlook, and everything else about us. So I pray you will do this. Marinate us in your word, that we may be filled with it, and that it, in turn, may be displayed in us. We ask these things humbly, in Christ's name, and for his sake. And God's people said, amen. You may be seated. For those of you who like to keep the notes, fill in the blanks, and have something to take home with you, now would be the time to do that. Certainly this is not a new psalm, and certainly this is a psalm that many of you probably know. It's possible that some of you have memorized it. I memorized it, or at least parts of it, certainly many years ago in Spanish, and it is still one of my favorite passages in Scripture, both in English and in Spanish. Those first couple verses in Spanish say, El que habita al abrigo del Altísimo morará bajo la sombra del Omnipotente. Diré yo a Jehová, esperanza mía y castillo mío, mi Dios en quien confiaré. Did you understand any of it? Some of you probably did. Sam would have, but Sam's traveling. But it says the same thing. And it's a wonderful psalm. And you read this psalm and you get comfort from it. I was reading again a little bit of, you know, so different people have written about it. And I discovered something that I, for whatever reason, wasn't fully aware of before. This psalm is actually considered a messianic psalm. In other words, that means that the actual, real interpretation of this psalm has to do with our Lord Jesus Christ as Messiah, because there was nobody who ever dwelt in the shelter of the Most High or who rested in the shadow of the Almighty the way he did. We have further evidence that this psalm refers to him, because when he is about to begin his ministry and he goes into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights fasting, there to be tempted and to encounter the enemy actually quotes verses from this passage. And Unger says in his handbook that this shows that the enemy knew that these verses applied to the Lord Jesus Christ. But of course he misquoted it, as the enemy will do, because he left a part of it out. And it's the part that we did not read in our reading just now. It says, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. And you will tread upon the lion and the cobra, and you will trample the great lion and the serpent. So the enemy quoted this to Jesus, trying to convince him that the scripture said that he should throw himself off of the temple. But he neglected the little phrase that says, he will keep you, he will guard you in all your ways. And so the Lord Jesus wasn't falling for it, no pun intended there, in any way, shape, or form. And he said, it is also written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. But further proof that this is a messianic psalm and has its fulfillment in Jesus is this quote toward the end, where it's a direct quote. And some of these psalms, other psalms, have messianic quotes. You are my son, this day I have begotten thee. That is God the Father addressing the Son in heaven. And sit here at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. That is another case where the Father is speaking of the Son. And in this psalm, he says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him, I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Isn't that a wonderful thought? But even though this is a messianic psalm, and its first application is to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing wrong with us claiming it for ourselves, because as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are one with him. We are seated in heavenly places with him. We are his flesh. We are his blood. We are his bones. We belong to him, and therefore we may also claim it. Aren't you glad? But only a true believer can claim this. And if you're not under the protection, just as Bennett was illustrating, if you're not under the blood, you're not under the protection. If you're not under the Lord Jesus Christ and his shed blood, you are not under the protection. Because the only true protection is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is the basis of all the other protection and coverage that God gives us spiritually, physically, and in every other way. We can either be under the protection or we can be out of the protection. The protection is there, but we must be under it. And the only way to be under it is to be in Christ Jesus. So if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ today, you are walking in a dangerous world. Have any of you seen that insurance commercial where this guy named Mayhem comes along? And every time he comes along, something really bad happens. Well, that's pretty true to the real world that we live in today. And there's never been a more important time. Make sure you're under the protection. And it's not about how good you are or how good you can be. It's about whether you're under the protection. And the protection is the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that he shed at the cross. And then once we know him, that protection also has to do with his actual presence with me as I walk along. Did you know that wherever I go as a child of God, the presence of the Lord is there with me? Did you know that? Did you know that that's true of you? And yet so many times we act like that isn't true, because the first little thing happens and we're panicking and we're wondering what we're going to do next. Or we say, I don't think the Lord loves me anymore. Or if he did, he wouldn't allow these things. Or we may even go as far as say, God doesn't keep his word, because God said that if I dwelt in the shelter of the Most High and I rested in the shadow of the Almighty, that no pestilence would hit me, that no pestilence would come near my tent, that I would be delivered from every kind of trouble. I want to address that in the course of this message. Yes, he protects me. Does that mean that nothing negative ever happens to a believer? Folks, you have to take all of God's word. Does God's word say that in this world you will suffer tribulation? Many are the troubles of a righteous man, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. So let's listen here for just a few minutes. I'm going to try not to keep you too long, but let's go and do a few observations here on this matter. Observations. Number one, based on this psalm, our safety is not determined by our geographical location. I just read this week that 30,000-pound bunker buster bomb is now ready for use. And if you wanted to get away from that thing, you'd probably want to be in the deepest bunker you could find. But even there, you might not be totally safe. Our safety is not determined by our geographical location, but by our relationship to the Most High. That is our safety. Safety isn't determined whether I'm on the streets of South Norfolk or the streets of Baghdad. Safety is determined by whether the Lord's presence is with me and if His protection is over me. The safest place in the world might be right out in the middle of the battlefield with bullets whizzing by if that is where the Lord has put me. Now, I need to make sure I'm where the Lord wants me to be and where He put me. But our safety isn't determined. And I know the Lord expects us to do all the common sense things. I mean, common sense things, okay? Common sense things. But we need not be fanatics to the point of always work, because how many would agree, there is no perfectly safe place? Not in this day and age. Not even a theater, perhaps. There is no completely safe place in that way. The safe place is in the presence of the Lord. And the presence of the Lord is with me as His child. So, it's not determined by geographical location, but by our relationship to the Most High. Number two, to be under the Lord's covering is to be under His shadow. And the Hebrew word for shadow is equally translated shade. Shadow we think of as being something negative oftentimes, but shade we associate with something positive. We say about so-and-so, he has it made in the shade. To be under the Lord's covering is to be under His shadow, His shade. To be continually in His presence is to be continually under His protection. For it is His presence that provides me that protection. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, where it is so dark I cannot see anything, and where there is not room for anyone except just the Lord and me, I will still fear no evil, because Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Why does the rod and staff comfort Him? Because they're tokens of His presence, and He knows that where His presence is, He's safe. Even if it's in the darkest place He's ever been. You want to know how this sermon came to me? A couple weeks ago, yesterday or something, we had a carnival out here. How many were here for that? Preparing for VBS. You have a good time? And we had these little gazebos. Is that what they call them? These little things. With the four legs and the little canvas covering. Huh? And we had the dunking booth over here, and we had the big blow-up thing out there, but we had at least three or four of those little things, and it was so hot that day. Do you remember how hot it was that day? And there wasn't anywhere to hide from the sun. And somebody said, those that are over there working with that big inflatable, man, they're getting punished because they don't have anywhere to hide from the sun. And we had some at the front one up here signing people in. We had somebody over here at another one making little crosses for the people. And we had somebody over here under another one. They were sitting over there eating. And we had somebody down here under another one doing some face painting. And it was so hot. And I was sitting there, and I was getting the shade. And I was thinking, you know, even though it is hot as it is, I'm relatively comfortable here because I'm in the what? I'm in the shade. And the reason I'm in the shade is because I'm under a canopy. And then the connection to the psalm. And all of a sudden in my mind, I saw in my mind a picture of God's people all over the world. God's people, some in cities, some in deserts, some in jungles, some going through the most difficult time of their life, some engaged in hard work, but over each of them was a little canopy with its shade. And I was thinking to myself, That means that even when I'm going through the hard stuff, that doesn't mean I'm out from under the covering. He's right there with me if I'm in his presence. Amen? Some of the hardest times are some of the best times, at least in retrospect, because you'll look back and you'll remember that some of those hardest times were the times you were the closest to the Lord. Am I right? God's word is right. Number three, God shields his people from his judgments, but not from his dealings and disciplines. My Bible says, despise not the discipline of the Lord. Now, we could preach a whole separate thing on this. Discipline is not punishment. Discipline is training when it is done properly. Discipline is training. It is not punishment. Judgment is punishment. And God does judge wicked nations. And it is punishment. And God has done it many times. And God will do it again. And we are not excepted from it. But God protects his people from his judgments, because we're not under a curse. We're not under the law. We're not under a curse. We are under blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. But does that mean that he does not discipline me and that he does not deal with me? The trial of your faith. It may be as hot as fire. It may be so hot that it melts everything. But if it's pure gold, the gold only melts, but it doesn't burn up. What burns up? The chaff. And then when the gold congeals again, it's purer than it was before. But just because I'm going through something, that doesn't mean God's mad at me. It just means he's got some dealings to do with me. My dad was 62 years old when he went to be with the Lord. He took sick in the spring of 1965. He was a man who was strong in body. He was a man who had hardly ever been sick a day in his life. He was a man that when others were sick, he was well. He was a man who had never endured anything like that. And one night he took sick and he wound up in a hospital. And nobody in Puerto Rico could tell us what was wrong. And we came back to the States and we visited the churches and all that for several months. And when we got back to Florida in October, on October the 7th, he went to be with the Lord. But I remember a dear brother up in Michigan who spoke a word over him. And he said, God is working here, and God is taking a good man, and he is making him even better. And I noticed a mellowing in my dad. He loved the Lord. He was a godly man. He was a wonderful example. But he was pretty hard in a lot of things. And I saw a side of him in that I never saw. Now, am I saying that's why God did that? I don't know. How many know God is God and we're not? But I am saying that it is possible that when God allows certain things like this, it's just the opposite. We think he hates us. He loves me. He's working on his child. He is purging me from things that perhaps less than that I would not be purged from. He is leading me into depths of trust that I would never engage in if I were not dealing with that kind of trial. But it is not his judgment, my dear friend. Do not fear. It is not his judgment. If you know Jesus as your Savior, it is only his dealing and his discipline. And his covering is still there. Number four. When we are in the midst of God's dealings or disciplines, his covering is still there with us. And His grace is there. We talked about grace last week. To bring us through in victory. Isn't that a wonderful thing to know? And here's the conclusion of the matter. Thus, the believer can confidently say, though I am going through a difficult time right now, the Lord's covering is still with me. And His protecting presence is still around me. Therefore, I will not fear or fret. Aren't those the two things we do when things aren't going right? We either fear or we fret. I will do neither because I know that my Lord is with me. I know that His covering is here with me. So I will not fear or fret. But I will do these three things. I will trust and confide and be secure. Did the Apostle Paul know anything about trouble? Here's Paul's ways of talking about the fact that the Lord's covering is still with us in trouble. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also along with Him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Jesus Christ, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? There's the love, and that's the other part of the covering. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution? Or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword. As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. By the way, that's a big no. Big no, with all caps and an exclamation after it. No. In all these things, is that what it says? In all these things, we are what? More than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I ask you this morning, do you know anything stronger than the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord? Do you know anything stronger? And that is His covering. So we will finish as we begin. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I've been saying that verse to myself all week long. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Are you under the covering? Is He there? Oh, His canopy is everywhere His people are. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your covering. For your covering is constant. Your covering is completely trustworthy. Your covering is always adequate for whatever we may be encountering or going through. And your covering is faithful. Your covering never leaves those who are yours. Teach us to dwell. Teach us to abide. For if we do those two things, we will never be out from under your shadow. And your shadow is our covering. We thank you that that covering is real. And we thank you that it is available to every one of your people, not just the Son. Help us to trust you fully, Lord. Help us to trust you fully. No matter what may be happening, for we know that you are sovereign. We know that you are in charge, and we know that you do always what is best. And most of all and best of all, we know that you love us for it. This is more than we can say about ourselves to you. But our desire is to love you fully and to trust you fully. One of the ways we show that we understand your love is by trusting you. So help us today, Lord, and bring us a little closer to you. This isn't something that we have to strive and exert ourselves. It's something we can rest in. We thank you for that as well. Now, deal with each of our hearts, Lord, according as our needs will be today. And we ask it in Jesus' name.